I ask that you stand for the reading of our sermon text from Jude verses 3, 4, 20, and 21. And you can find those on page 1201 in the Pew Bible. Jude is towards the end of the Bible, the last book before the Revelation. So Jude, starting at verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. And please pray with me. Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Holy Spirit, we want to bow before you and thank you for your word. We thank you for your salvation and that you have become our salvation. And so we pray, our Lord, thanking you for so loving us and calling us your beloved in Christ. And so help us, Lord, to hear what your Spirit says to each one of us and show us how we, each one of us, are called by you to contend earnestly for the faith. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us by your mighty Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we find in our passage this morning that Jude was redirected by the Holy Spirit of God. He wanted to write about the common shared fellowship in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is to have communion in that fellowship of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when we trust in Jesus as Lord, as Savior, we have a communion, we have a connection, we have a union with Christ and with one another. And so, as a body, we're connected to one another by the Spirit of God. And we have a connection in fellowship. That's a wonderful and a beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful to be able to experience that with you this Sunday morning. And that I could see you face to face. Those of you who are here in person, those of you who are not yet here in person, we're praying that you will be in a few short weeks. And as vital and as good and as important a topic is our common salvation in Christ Jesus, that's not what the apostle wanted to talk about. And so he's redirected by the Spirit of God to speak about and to exhort God's people about the need to contend, to fight earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And so you can think of it this way. Now's not a time for vitamin C, although it's always good to have a little more vitamin C. But now's a time to fight, to take up arms, as it were, and to fight against the enemy of our soul and the enemies of the church. Now, we're not fighting people. Let's just get that out there, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers arrayed against the Lord, arrayed against the church in the heavenly places. So, beloved, let's not fight one another. Let's not bite and devour one another. Let's not quarrel with one another. We are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. And sometimes our own flesh is our enemy. We need to put to death the misdeeds of the body. We need to put to death those habits of quarreling and bickering and being like children. Like my grandsons, you know, the best toy in the universe is the one that my brother is playing with. And to him, the best toy in the universe is the one that I'm playing with. I remember this from when I was a child. It's time to put aside childish things. Amen? Amen. There is a time and a season for everything. This is not a time for vitamins. This is a time for strong medicine, strong warning, strong exhortation. And it's urgent. The Apostle Jude found it urgent, most necessary, to exhort God's people to fight for the faith. To contend earnestly means to engage in strenuous and agonizing struggle, like you would in a wrestling match. What happens if you let up in a wrestling match for 1 second? You get flipped and pinned. You have to keep striving and wrestling and keep wrestling till you get the victory. And it's the same with us. We need to contend earnestly for the faith. Why? Because we are in a spiritual war. Now, spiritual doesn't mean make-believe. Spiritual is as real as is physical. We can't see it, but it's going on. And that's because evil is real. If you don't believe me that evil is real, read your newspaper. Or go to the wrong part of town at the wrong time of the day. You learn the hard way that evil is real. We are at war, beloved. The spiritual warfare, but the struggle is real. We have the first record of the spiritual warfare in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. And it starts with telling us about the enemy of our souls and the enemy of God, the devil. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning, more crafty, more slick than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And so there it is. There's the battle. opposition to God always involves a challenge to the Word of God. It's all the same. Opposition to God involves a challenge to the Word of God. And spiritual warfare, in the end, is a battle against the truth and the love of God. That's where the fight is. Will we believe the truth about God, and will we love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength? That's what God is after. He's after your heart. He's after your love. And so in Deuteronomy 6:5, we hear the words, Shema, O Israel! Hear, O Israel! The Lord your God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. God requires all. Are we ready to give up to God all? God gave up all for us. He knew that we couldn't perfectly keep his law, so he sent his son, who did perfectly, personally, and perpetually keep the law of God for you and for me. He gave up all so that we could return to God. He loved us that much. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were helpless, while we were enemies, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Opposition to God always involves a challenge to the Word of God. And so we must, according to Ephesians 4:15, we must speak the truth in love. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, help us to speak the truth in love, and that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. Amen. And the truth is, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:10, that those who perish, perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Have you, beloved, received a love for the truth of God? Do you love the Lord who is truth? Do you love the truth of his word? If you love the truth, then you're going to be in the word. And the word's going to be in you. And you're going to say, yes, I want to dig deep into the word. I want to examine these things daily to see whether they are so. I want to be a good Berean. I want to wake up each morning to listen with the ear of disciples, so that I will have a word to share with the weary one, to strengthen them, says Isaiah 50. And so I urge you to wake up and listen what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Amen? When we love the truth, we will fight for the faith once delivered to the saints. And so what we're talking about is the fight for faith, but that really is the fight for love. We must fight for the faith once delivered to the saints. And so our big idea, our main point this morning, our proposition, to remain in the place of protection and win the war, we must fight to keep ourselves in the love of God. We must fight. Dear beloved, fight to keep yourselves in the love of God. The Bible says in verse 21, keep yourselves. Now we need to know that it is God who keeps us. And so we need to hold in both hands and hold tightly both truths that God is sovereign. He's in control of all things, and he's the one who keeps us. And if we are in the hand of the shepherd, no one can snatch us out of his hands. He's the one who keeps us. But at the same time, it says, keep yourselves. There's something we must do, and we must keep ourselves. And so we need to hold on to both of those with all our might. Now, some of us in the Reformed tradition, we want to put everything on the sovereignty of God. And we don't want to hold up our end of the deal, human responsibility. God uses both. He uses means. The means of grace, prayer, fellowship, the Word of God, sacraments. And so we need to feel and believe as strongly about the sovereignty of God as we do about human responsibility. We need to hold them both at the same time. Amen? And so, beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. Do your part to stay right and tight with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? How do we stay rightly related with God? Well, we need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with our whole being, with every fiber of our being, we must love God. It says, you shall. And you know what? When God's Spirit comes to live in you, you shall. You will. The command by the power and Spirit of God becomes a promise. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is that God has given us of His Spirit to live inside us, the Holy Spirit to live inside you, to make you holy, to fill you up to overflowing with the love of God. We love because He first loved us. Amen? So we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Well, how do we do that? How do we keep ourselves there? How do we remain in that place of protection? Because when you're in the Lord, when you're in Him, you are protected by the love of God from the hater of God. Amen? How do we stay there? Well, Jude gives us three ways, and it's interesting that there are three ways to remain, to be kept in that place of protection, and those three ways are, for lack of a better term, participles. Sorry, grammar has followed you into the church. Participles, ing words, action words. There's something for us to do. We are to be those who are building ourselves up, or building yourselves up, he says. And then it also says praying in the Spirit. And lastly, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first is building yourselves up together in your most holy faith. And I don't think it's a stretch to say building yourselves up together in your most holy faith in the Father. Now, why do I say in the Father? Well, the other points speak of praying in this Holy Spirit. And then the last point says looking to our Lord Jesus Christ. So it speaks to me that very likely the first point is referring to the Father. And so I take it by implication, especially since we are Trinitarian, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we want to build ourselves up together in our most holy faith in the Father. Now, one of the things that comes to mind as I think about the faith that we have in God the Father is that what we need to have in view is his love. And the apostle, the evangelist, says in 1 John chapter 3 that we need to see, or we need to behold. We need to look and look again, meditate on, focus on the love of the Father. Behold what kind or what manner, how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we, even we, should be called children of God, and such we are. What a blessing to focus on that truth. And many of our problems would go away, or at least they would fade into insignificance if we would focus on this truth. Because we all hear lots of falsehoods. And what do we rehearse? We rehearse wrongs. We rehearse falsehoods. We rehearse bad things people have said about us in the past, even if it was years and years ago. But God has said, beloved, how great a love have I bestowed on you, that even you, through faith in Christ, through faith in the only begotten Son of God, that you should be called children of God, his adopted children. We are accepted in the beloved, Ephesians says. Let's dwell on that. Amen? Amen. Build yourselves up, or you all are to be about building each other up in your faith in the Father. Dwell on that. Even Jude, in the verse before we read, in verse 2, says this in his greeting. He says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Now, a typical New Testament greeting is, may mercy and peace and grace be upon you or be multiplied to you. But Jude breaks from the pattern and says, may mercy and peace and love. We expect grace, but he says love. Now, God's love is because of his grace, but He wants us to focus on the love of the Father. Amen. And not only love, mercy, and peace, but that would be multiplied. How can that be multiplied? God is the one who's able to multiply these blessings to us. And then he says, what? Beloved. Beloved. You know, some of you have mailboxes, and on your mailbox, there's probably a number that says your address, but some of you have a nameplate or a printed name that says who lives there. Well, God has as your nameplate, Beloved. Beloved. You could put it on your desk, Beloved. That's what God says about you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are beloved in the Lord Jesus? We must believe that. We need to embrace that. And every other name that's applied to us that's not in agreement with that name, Beloved, we need to cast those away. Amen? Amen. Amen. He will give us a new name. Amen. So we're beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to build ourselves up in that love of the Father. And so we're encouraged also in the Epistle of John to not love the world. Sometimes our building up is stalled when we love the things of this world. What am I talking about? 1 John chapter 2, where it says in verse 15, do not, that means don't, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't hold the love of the world and the love of the Father at the same time. You will love the one and hate the other. Choose to love God the Father who first loved you and sent his Son to die for you on the cross. John 3:16, gospel in a nutshell. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the picture. That's the portrait. And that's the demonstration of God's love for you. And so you build yourselves up. We build up one another as we feed our faith. Are you feeding your faith or are you feeding unbelief? Are you feeding the growing Christ-like spirit in you, or are you feeding a bitterness? We need to forgive. And as we grow in Christ, the Holy Spirit shows us people that we need to forgive. And yet sometimes we hold a grudge against people and we're not willing or ready to forgive them. And that is like a root of bitterness. And someone has said that that holding a grudge or not being willing to forgive is like when we swallow poison and we expect it to hurt the other person that we won't forgive. But guess what? We've swallowed that poison and it's going to tear us up. And so the Lord wants us to forgive. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. If we don't forgive, we're not going to have forgiveness. That's what he's saying. And so, beloved, I must urge you and exhort you to forgive and to recognize if you can't or you feel you can't, need to believe that you can and you will be able to as you ask God for the ability. Are you willing to forgive? Let's be willing to be obedient. And it's true, when you're willing to submit to God's word, say, God, you're right, I'm wrong, I need to forgive. And they did wrong me, yes, but I need to bring that before you and ask you for the ability and the power to forgive. And guess what? As one has said, God will tax the last star, the farthest star, and the last grain of sand to come to your aid as you seek to be obedient to him. Amen? I've seen it. I felt that I didn't have it in me to forgive, but then I asked God to help me, and guess what? The power floods in for forgiveness, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith in the Father. Beloved, always keep growing, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep growing, or else you'll be declining. We don't want to recline and decline. We want to press forward and grow in that grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we're here to help each other grow. And so speak that truth in love. Speak in order to give grace to the hearer. Why are you speaking? Are you speaking so everybody can know what a great person you are? Or are you speaking so people can know what a great God we serve? And so that God's people can be edified, so we can give grace to the hearer according to the need of the moment. Amen? We not only build ourselves up in the most holy faith of the Father, we also keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in the Spirit. How important prayer is. And we really need to grow. I need to grow in prayer. What is praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit under the influence of the Holy Spirit means that we're relying on the Spirit to actively influence us and empower us in the ministry of prayer. And so when we pray, we say, Holy Spirit, please teach me to pray and strengthen me in prayer. And when you pray that way, he will do it. Now, you may be convicted by the Spirit in the midst of that, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and that's a good thing because we want to have a clear communication line with the Lord. And what breaks the communication? Sin. And so we need to deal with it. And so one of the first things to do in prayer after adoration and praise, confession. Confess your sin. Confession of sin should be part of our prayer. But then a willingness to say, I'm done with that. I turn from that. I hate my sin. I even hate myself because of that sin. And hate that I grieved my Heavenly Father. And so, beloved, let's be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting and leading in prayer. Amen? And then let everything you do all day long, let everything you do be infused with prayer. Are you eating? As you eat, you should be praying. You should be, first of all, giving thanks to God that you have a table that has food on it, because not everybody has that. And if you don't have that, pray that the Lord provides it. And if you, after that, you still don't have it and you need help to provide that, come and see the pastor and the deacon, and we'll try to help you. Everything we do must be infused with prayer. And then what you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, you will do it to the glory of God. Amen? And then what you do will have the breath and the blessing of God. Do you want to be covered by the breath and the blessing of God? Do you want life spoken into what you do? Do you want blessing spoken into what you do? I do. Pray in the Spirit at all times. And really, there is no prayer without the Holy Spirit. How can we pray without the Spirit of God working in us? Prayer is the most spiritual thing that you can do. And so we desperately need that activity of the Holy Spirit in us when we worship, when we praise, when we thank, when we adore God. We must do it in spirit and in truth. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, tune our hearts to sing the praise of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please make us a thankful people, always giving thanks, always blessing, always forgiving, just like the Lord Jesus, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, that God would put that spirit of prayer in us as well. Amen? We pray in the Spirit because we have access to God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2:18. Now all of us can come to the Father. All of us have access to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. And so we need all three: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we are to be those who are praying in the Spirit. Lastly, we are those who are looking. Are you looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life? Are you looking to Jesus? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith? Or are your eyes fixed on yourself? Or your eyes fixed on another person? Don't do that. Fix your eyes. Look and keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our source of mercy. Jesus is mercy with skin on. He shows us the great and beautiful mercy of God. He was clearly portrayed for us as the merciful one when he died on the cross to take away your sin and mine. He showed mercy by not giving us what we deserve. We deserve death because of our sin. We deserve eternal hell because of our sin. And Jesus took it in his mercy. Look to Jesus. Keep looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus to eternal life. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Hallelujah. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep fixing your eyes, not on the things that are on the earth, but fix your eyes above where what? Where Jesus is. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about what people have done to you in the past. Let it go and lay hold of Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Looking to Jesus. Looking to him for mercy. You know, if we don't show mercy, guess what? No mercy is going to come back to us. Be merciful, and you shall receive mercy. Be merciful, and you will be blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Amen. Look for yourself. Make it personal. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Personalize it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away my sin. 41 years ago, I came to that realization that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died for the sins of the world, but he died for my sins. He forgave me. And so I prayed to believe and receive him as my Lord and Savior. It's the best decision I ever made. And God enabled me to do it. I know that. And so look to Jesus, personalize it, fix your eyes on him. Don't fix your eyes on self or others. For every one look at your sin, take 10 looks at Jesus. Amen? Because he's the sin bearer. He will bear it away. And you pray that he becomes other people's sin bearer. Pray for that person who wronged you, that they would know the forgiveness of God. And you forgive them. And maybe you will be a demonstration of the gospel. The gospel with skin on. Mercy with skin on. It's time for us to have another incarnation. The incarnation is when the Word becomes flesh. And so the Word of God's mercy, the Word of God's love needs to become flesh in your flesh. You need to be a God lover, and you need to be a lover of people, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the gospel with skin on. Are you ready to be used by God in that way? And so personalize the gospel, make it yours, but then you really get it when you give it away. Amen? Amen? You really get it when you give it away. You teachers out there know this. You really don't know a subject till you teach it. And so when you teach others, you really get it because you're trying to explain it to those who don't yet get it. But as you teach it, and as you review it, and as you teach it again, you get it. It's the same with sharing your faith. When you give it away, that's when you really begin to get it. And when you rehearse it as you give it away, it feeds you. It strengthens you. I have a dear friend who was experiencing some depression. He was in semi-retirement, and part of it was he had derived a lot from performance, maybe. But he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. As one has said, life is unnerving for a servant who's not serving. Well, he wasn't serving like he was supposed to. I invited this friend to come and help us with evangelism. And he did. And he went out there. I almost had to hold on to his coattails as he was evangelizing. And he would tell people about the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. He would tell them about the atonement. He would tell them about the holiness of God and also the mercy of God. And so he'd explain the gospel. And as he's explaining the gospel, he's being encouraged by the gospel. And guess what? After a few weeks of that, he's no longer depressed. His eyes were off himself, and his eyes were fixed on Jesus. And he was encouraging others to do the same. And so let's get it for ourselves, and let's give it away, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And so, beloved, fight for love. Fight that fight for love. The battleground begins in our heart. We need to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. We need to keep ourselves in that love by building ourselves up in the faith of the Father, by praying in the Holy Spirit, and by looking to Jesus for mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this so great salvation. Thank you for loving us and calling us your beloved in Christ and sealing that love to us by your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, we want to respond to that by building up, by praying, and by looking. And so grant by your Holy Spirit that we will do these things, that we will be doers and acting out, doing the things that you said out of loving obedience, because you say, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And so we pray, Lord, as we keep ourselves in your love, that you would keep us, and that you would bless us, and that you would get the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.